Excuse me, Kent. I have the capacity to change.
Yeah, you do. You have the capacity to get fucking worse.
Ah, oh, yeah, now getting down to it.
Harry, let's face it. I'm not being funny. I mean, no disrespect. But you're a cunt. You're a cunt, Nell. You've always been a cunt. And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt. Now you have some more cunt kids.
Leave my kids fucking out of it. What have they done? You fucking retract that bit about my cunt fucking kids.
I retract that bit about your cunt fucking kids.
Insulting my fucking kids? That's going overboard, mate.
I retracted it, didn't I?
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
Damian White, Jamaica, LinkedIn. I think this is why people keep sending me LinkedIn profiles. Gmail keeps going.
You're Damian White LinkedIn?
Yeah, there's a Damian White LinkedIn. And people, like, every now and again, in Gmail, they're like, Damian, someone wants to join you, LinkedIn. I'm like, that's terrific news. I'd have to sign up to get that. And nope.
And nope. So, I guess you're Andrew, you're Damian White LinkedIn.
Yep.
And I'm just Douglas.
You're Douglas Facebook.
Douglas Facebook, okay. So who are you? Just Andrew?
Andrew Twitter.
I am just Andrew because you know, you're offline. You're not. You're antisocial.
He's on Facebook. I'm the one that's antisocial. I don't like fake people. Sister showed me this study where parents are now having a no technology day because there are just buttloads of children who think they have so many friends, except none of them are real. All Facebook people. And they're depressed as shit. Because when you leave the computer, guess what? All your friends go with you. Poor children.
Aww. So sad.
Internet sucks, doesn't it?
Wow. How long are we going to do this for?
So long. People stop listening to this. Andrew will edit this.
I have lots of editing work to do.
I love listening to this. I'm like, didn't we talk about nonsense for like half an hour? Welcome. And then we just jump into the conversation. Wait, we didn't even call our name. Can't do this. Editing out all of this garbage. These idiots.
So this week, Douglas seems happy to finally take us out of our current movie watching path and send us back to the 80s to watch one of the most beloved films directed by Wim Wenders, and that being Paris, Texas.
I just saw you this time at Walt's. I was hoping to show you that I was your father. You showed me I was.
Ha ha ha, they have two fathers. Just lucky, I guess.
I can never heal up what happened. I can't even hardly remember what happened. It's like a gap.
Okay, well, this movie is... it's a little odd. It's about... So, Harry Dean Stanton is in this film, and he plays just a guy whose name is Travis. By the way, he's missing. He's been missing for 4 years. And he shows up one day just walking through the middle of the desert into this, like, you know, one horse town. And the doctor, well, he passes out because, of course, when you walk in the desert, it's sunny. And
it's always, he did have a jug of water with him.
It's always sunny in the desert.
Finished. Like when we get there, it's just finished.
Yeah. Yeah, but the doctor finds some information in his wallet because he's passed out, and he's like, okay, I guess I'll call this person in your wallet. And that person happens to be his brother, who has not seen him in 4 years. His brother comes to the town, gets him, and brings him back to his family. And so, you know, the family is reunited. And as the movie goes along, you kind of learn a little bit more about the situation that kind of led to him, in my mind. I don't know if this actually happened, because a lot of this is kind of left to the imagination. But what essentially led to him, in my mind, kind of going crazy or breaking down, essentially, and having to kind of leave the situation. And, you know, you kind of get to see all the negative stuff, you know, when somebody leaves people behind, you know, people who depend on them, and people who not necessarily depend on them, but, you know, have this relationship and are just kind of like, dude, what the fuck, where did you go? You know, you see how that kind of phrase relationships, and how when it comes back, you know, that initial phase, and sometimes it's not even initial, it's just for the rest of your life, when, you know, the relationship never quite gets to where it used to be. And I think that's a lot of what this movie is about. It explores his relationship with his child, who you meet a little bit later on in the movie, as well as I'm not sure if they were officially married, so wife, ex-wife, lover, whatever she was to him. And you kind of, this movie, it really explores his relationships, how they broke down, and, you know, kind of him coming back into the equation, so to speak. Now, did I like this movie? Yes. Would I always have liked this movie? Yes. Because guess what? It is a weird movie. It's not as weird as some of the movies that I generally love. It's not Von Trier. You know, it's not at that level. But it's definitely... No, it's not Lynch either. But, you know, it's in that vein of kind of not the most normal thing that you'll be watching in any given period of time. The Harry Dean Stanton's character is definitely like the wild card, you know. For the first probably half an hour, he doesn't even speak. And, you know, I just like the way that this movie kind of explores the relationship that he has, and slowly but surely gets, essentially pulls you into those relationships. You get to see, you know, for a long time, and this is what I like about a lot of movies, you had to kind of, not guess, but you had to be like, okay, what's going on here? And they slowly but surely fill you in. You know, like, at first, you wonder if something went bad between the brothers. Then you realize, well, that's not important. And it probably didn't. Nothing probably went wrong with them anyway. But that's not the important part. It's about, you know, his family unit, in terms of, you know, what's directly around him. His lady friend, his child. And it's hard to really talk a lot about this movie, because this movie really is just, it's simple. It's, you know, this guy screwed up and now he's coming back and he has to somehow make amends. And I really like this movie. I think it's one of those where either you love it or you hate it, and I'm just down on the side of loving it, you know?
So why don't we hear about someone who hates it now?
All right.
I'm calling you out, Damien.
No.
I'm calling you out.
Yeah. All right. So I watched this movie today. So I have it fresh in my mind.
Oh, snap.
Nothing happens in this movie. For, let's see, for all, it's just... man is lost in desert. Man's brother gets called. That is a minute into the movie. The next hour is spent bringing the brother home and watching him polish shoes. There you go. All right. So his brother is a fuck-up. They've established that from the off. No one walks in the desert because they're well-adjusted. Right? So you go, all right, he's fucked up and he's crazy. He's also crazy on top of it. And it is slowly revealed, no, he's not crazy. Fucked up and lost his mind, but he's not, he didn't fall off the crazy tree.
Mm-hmm.
He ran down to the crazy tree, but they brought him back.
Is it just me, or because for a long time I thought he was, I thought there was something a little bit wrong with him.
Right.
And slowly but surely, it's kind of like he takes
back,
off that
right.
coat and he becomes,
it's
you know,
peeled back
he looks
that, oh,
a lot more normal.
He's a normal person.
Yeah.
He just
yeah.
lost it for a second there. And as you said, he's working his way back.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the first hour, it is literally getting him and then bringing him home. So all they've said is, you know, brother bringing home brother, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets home and you find out that the son that is there is not, he is the son of the crazy guy, right?
Right, so Dean Stockwell is the brother.
Right.
So Dean Stockwell has been raising this son, this boy, but you realize that it's really Harry Dean Stanton's son. Yeah.
And so that is essentially where the brunt of the movie gets started.
Yeah.
Right? But as I said, you are an hour into a 2 hour and 15 minutes movie. So if you enjoy road movies and watching people stop at a gas station and make phone calls, and driving cars and have mundane conversations, you will be just in heaven for the first hour of this movie. I was not. And then the movie gets on in earnest. You see him trying to reconnect with the son, and you see him slowly becoming less mad. Right? And then you see him get to a point where he's now ready to essentially fess up for the sins he's committed, and he's trying to make amends for everything. Which is all well and good. So him getting back to that point takes up the second hour of the movie. And then the redemptive moment happens in the final 50 minutes. He goes and he essentially repairs the relationship, not between him and his son, because he did that kind of piecemeal. And the son is young enough to where the son doesn't hate him for anything. He just rolls with the punches. And
well, at first he did, though.
At first he was ashamed to be seen with him.
Well, not just ashamed. Things like, even when he was at home, he was like, you know, who is this dude?
Right, but that's because he's new. Him. But the second he got this nice suit and he started walking all uphill.
That was fun. I like that. I like that.
Right.
You know,
there's nice things about
it. It was a sweet moment. For
yes.
me.
If never mind. But
I like how for the whole of watching this movie, mm-hmm. Douglas and I watched it together. For the whole night, we spent worrying that something horrible was going to happen to this child almost every way through.
Yep. This movie was made in the 80s, though, so there's no chance of that happening.
Like, we were like, no, something bad's going to happen.
If you saw Lars on the name, or if it was made in the 70s or now, you would have had it.
Like, we could just imagine, like, if Lars was making a spoof version of this movie, he would do, like, every single scene would have a bad ending happening.
Children were safest between the 80s and the 90s in movies. They're untouchable. The children, you can't. What?
Then Terminator 2 happened and they're like, we can put guns near them. And
yeah, but
be okay.
Right. You could do anything. Have explosions, anything. They're indestructible. The end of the movie is what carries the most emotional weight.
Yeah. Most definitely.
The problem with the end of the movie, at least for me, is that it felt unearned. And the switch happened. It's like the thing that happens too quickly. And the movie ends with it ends kind of open.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of a reversal of the roles that have been taking place, and you see him come to terms with what he did, and you see him go out and he tries to mend everything. And if all of that sounds fine to you, wait. Because the movie, as I said before, it is 2 hours and 15 minutes long.
It's like 2.5 hours.
And you feel every minute of this movie. It feels like you're flying from point of, it feels like the longest drive you've ever had. It feels like the longest movie you've ever seen.
I would like
it to. Felt like time. Instead of pausing, time started going back on itself and creating more time. More time for you to watch people drive to nowhere. More time for you to watch him and his son interact. More time to realize that nothing is happening. More time to realize nothing is happening. And you sit there and you go, what on earth? What is it that I'm going to get at the end of this movie that will make this long, boring journey worth it? And then it happens. And I sat there and went, nope. Sorry, movie. I know what you're trying to do. I know the point you're trying to make. But no. Not after all of this. You don't just get to leave me on this note and just go, now the movie's ended. I don't want that. And so I sat there for 2 hours and 15 minutes. Essentially, it felt like one of my lectures. For like 2 hours I sat there, essentially praying that lightning would strike the teacher. And that is what I prayed, that lightning would strike the TV so I didn't have to watch it. It's boring. It is crushingly boring. There's aspects of the movie that is good, right? But the pacing of this movie, it is not. And the story that is told, like, this is a poor story, told poorly. And so, no, I did not enjoy this movie at all.
I like
it. It is not Oz the Great and Powerful.
Hey, let's not.
But
let's not
that
bring,
is my new
let's
bar.
Not bring, let's
That's
not
my
bring
new bar.
The brilliance that
it
is
not Oz the Great and Powerful. But it is also not okay. This movie is teetering. It is mediocre, teetering on bad. But that Douglas seems to love it, and I'm flanked by Andrew, who clearly, oh my God, I can see it coming. So Andrew Robinson, what did you think about Paris, Texas? Can somebody explain the name first quickly?
It's the place. It's Paris, Texas.
How many times did they say that?
Around 50.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's funny.
It's
when you
joke.
Tell people
yeah.
that you came from Paris and you wait as long as possible
mm-hmm.
before you add in Texas.
Yep.
So they can sit there and think about all of the French questions to ask you. You're like, no, it was Texas.
Right. And now, people listening, just remember that is a movie about a man who lost his mind being reunited with his family and making amends. There is a joke about Paris, Texas. Littered throughout him. So yeah, sounds like a good time. Andrew Robinson.
Yes. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
I like this movie.
Of course you do.
I like this movie a lot. And uh-huh. I think it's basically for the same reason why this movie. Because the thing about it is that I don't think I fully understand this movie. I don't think I fully know what to love about this movie when it comes to like the meat of the matter.
The kung fu.
But the truth about it is that there was something about this movie where I enjoyed spending time with it. Where I think it might just be down to Harry Dean Stanton and all of his intricacies, all of the little things from him not wanting to fly on a plane to the fact that he won't sleep in the house, to even the silly moment he has with his son when he puts on the fancy suit. And everything afterwards, where I'm just enjoying spending time with this character, right? I do agree that for the most part, when you kind of think of plot-wise, this movie has a lot of nothing, and it stretches a lot of nothing over a lot of time.
Oh, yes,
but once again, I enjoyed my time with him so much that didn't bother me as much. You talk about the redemptive moment. I'm not even sure if I want to call it a redemptive moment. Because I don't think he's looking or curious or even wanting redemption.
Actually,
at that point in time.
I think he's 100% anti-redemption.
Right.
Right? He doesn't want to be redeemed, and he makes certain, or at least tries to make certain, that he is not redeemed.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think he's... I don't like it when you say he's come to terms with what he's done, because he hasn't, right?
He's at the point where he can say the thing
right.
that happened, right?
Right.
And that is clearly what he was running away from in the beginning.
Yes,
that is
he
the
has
thing
come
he ran
to
away
terms
from.
With it,
yeah.
But he's not looking for redemption. There's a complete difference between those two things, right? He realizes, yes, because the thing about it is, as the movie starts, we find out he's been gone for 4 years, right? And we know it's because of something which happened.
Uh-huh,
and that last moment is kind of filling us in on that thing, right? And so, coming to terms with it is, yes, true. From the point where we find him, where he's been off in the desert for 4 years, and literally running away from this problem, going, I don't want to think about that having been a thing ever again. And all of the time we've been with him, from when he's fallen over from dehydration to the end of this movie, he has finally come to terms with what, because even when in the first hour of the movie, how many times his brother asks him, are you going to ever tell me what happened?
Yeah.
Right? And he just says, no, I don't want to talk about it. Right?
Yeah.
And at the end of that movie, when we have that final moment, is a moment where he's finally come to terms with it. He even had a moment where he ran away the first time. Right? He couldn't do what he went there to do the first time, and he had to go back to do it again. So yes, he comes to terms, but he is not looking for redemption.
Well, but I think he doesn't. Well, for me, coming to terms means that, you know, he's accepted what happened. But I don't think
he's accepted his part.
Yeah, I don't think he has accepted, and I don't think that he has or will ever forgive himself.
No.
And you know, what he realizes is that he needs to do this one thing, right? He needs to kind of try and correct
and fix it.
Right, correct some correct the relationship in of these other people that were in the the whole situation. But I think that even if he could fix or be accepted by those people, that he wouldn't want to be. You know that way?
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually what I really like about the ending. That it's so complex in a sense. There's so much going on there. And you can see it. And you see it in his portrayal of this character. Especially... Actually, you see it all through the movie. And it's kind of a roller coaster ride where you have... At first,
the
he's very
roller coaster of all
shut up.
Time.
I'm talking about specifically his performance right now, and you know, at first he's very monotone. You know, he's kind of barely a human. You know, you have some sadness in him as well, and you know, in the middle there, when he's, you know, his son kind of brings him out of that, and he kind of gets a little bit more positive and a little bit more happy, and a little bit more contemplative, and then at the end there, it's all contemplation, it's all sadness, it's all self-loathing, you know, and he shows all of those emotions, and that, I think Harry Dean Stanton's performance is probably 95% of why I like this movie. You know?
No, yeah, it's fine, yeah. That is, if there's anything to like about the movie, it is that.
Yeah.
And if that were the sole thing that I could judge the movie on, then fine. This movie is a 4 out of 4. Sadly, though, I have to take all of the parts, not just his part. The movie is a sum. That sum didn't amount to much, Douglas.
Well, I think this movie, more than a lot of other movies, asks us to focus on his part alone.
Yeah. It's a very selfish movie. About a very selfish act, you know? This is really what this movie is.
So, we're 2 for 3 on this movie, so this movie is
Tump approved! Oh, snap!
I'm never coming
straight
back
out
on
of the Criterion collection into the Tump collection.
Yep.
It'd be interesting to kind of go back to all of the last episodes, the former episodes that we've done.
And make a list of
all the Tump approved movies.
I think we could do that. We could spend like a day and just look at them and be like, that one, 2 out of 3, yeah.
Yeah.
See what's our, that would be an interesting
and then,
list.
And then we'd have like two layers, right? You have everything that's Tump approved, which is, you know, at least two of us. And then you'd have like
Tump
the gold
certified.
Exactly. the gold section or Tump certified where all three of us liked it.
I think we can do this, guys. We should be able to do this one day.
A United States Army field hospital somewhere near the front lines.
Check this place out. See what the nurses are like.
That one, the sultry bitch with the fire in her eyes.
Onward, Christian soldiers.
Should I?
You should.
Okay. So this week, Douglas and I sat down and we saw a pretty special movie. In what I like to call another part of Douglas Classics. Douglas, we watched MASH this week for the first time.
Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Have you seen this movie, Damien?
Sorry?
MASH.
No.
No? Okay. Douglas.
This was not on any top 100 list of anything. Movie sucks.
Douglas, how did you like MASH?
Well, I'd seen bits and pieces of it before, and I'd kind of known what to expect. Right?
Hijinks in
exactly.
Medical.
What I didn't expect was... And I should have because of when it was made and what kind of a movie it was kind of the incoherency of it, because it's very incoherent, this
yeah.
movie, right? But that's how comedies were back then a lot.
Bad.
Well, you can argue. You can argue that. I mean, I know I have fairly controversial views on some proclaimed classic comedies.
Yeah, like everything you ever wanted to know about sex and what to afraid to ask. Yeah, like that.
Oh my goodness. Or Animal House.
It's so funny.
Or The Blues Brothers. But anyway,
I won't fight anybody for those things.
But anyway, MASH, MASH is an incoherent mess, but it is a hilarious incoherent mess. And for that reason, I adore this movie. Donald Sutherland is great as Hawkeye. Elliot Gould as, I can't remember his name, but fucking
Tanner.
Hilarious. Tanner?
I think Tanner.
Okay. The, you know, it's just great. The Damien, think about it this way, right? This is a movie about...
In a world.
This is a movie about two main guys, two close friends, who essentially value almshouse as much as you do.
Oh, yes.
And go to an army base where they promote almshouse and essentially get everybody else on board.
I think I like this.
And when people come to the base and are not on board, they are ridiculed. They are... they are beaten down until they finally get on board.
Until they adhere to the almshouse.
Yes. This movie is just fantastic. It is a 10 out of 5. It's stellar.
So that's the movie I'm being pitched. Alright, MASH.
This movie is great.
On Netflix? Yes, it is. We saw it on Netflix.
Good.
Did we watch it on Netflix?
Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I like to think of it as the...
He's
still turning on Netflix.
Guys, can keep talking if you want.
I like to think of this movie as the movie that is the prequel to Sergeant Kilgore in Apocalypse Now with Robert Duvall.
Or Robert
Nash
Duvall.
Or MASH?
MASH.
M-A-S-H.
It's the questions, boy. It's the questions. It's the questions. Come on. The questions. It's the questions, boy. It's the questions. It's the questions. Yeah. The questions. It's the questions, y'all. It's the questions. It's the questions. Dig it. The questions. It's the questions, boy. It's the questions. So, yeah.
Yay, questions!
I was asking the internet, with the Sochi Winter Olympics, our favorite Olympics.
Finally.
It's going
been
on.
4 years. It's been 4 years. Almost fucked up. Wait, no, it wasn't the Olympics. No, all right, Winter Olympics. It's been 4 years. finally I can know who is the best snowboarder, who is the best at the luge.
Such a bobsled.
It's just such a good.
Are you going to watch a Jamaica bobsled?
Have you lost your mind? I have watched precisely 0 seconds. If I have bootleg cable that is allowing me to just watch it on regular, because it's just playing through NBC, there's no blackout.
Oh, okay.
So, because he doesn't care, and apparently whoever regulates our cable industry don't care either. So I can just watch it. And my sister watches a lot of it, and every time I walk in the house, first of all, it looks like garbage. That's the first part of the problem. I only watch sports in HD now. I'm a grown-up. Second of all,
HD stop.
It's snow sports, which isn't a real thing. Like,
just because you've never seen snow,
all right,
doesn't make it not real.
Fine. Figure skating.
Do you acknowledge synchronized swimming?
Think
do you
about
acknowledge synchronized swimming?
No, I do not.
Okay, then
I acknowledge real ass swimming.
Gymnastics?
Of course, gymnastics is a sport.
Okay, alright.
Right? Ice dancing is not. I don't care how many backflips you do.
Is hockey a sport?
No! Okay. It's not ice.
I just wanted that.
Field
so
hockey isn't
on.
A sport, so why would ice hockey be a sport? And I'm Jamaican, we don't play hockey. Thanks to our
hockey.
National hero, Shaba. We only eat hockey.
I hate you so
oh,
much.
Oh god, I hate this.
Anyway, no.
Shaba
stop.
Is the
just
worst.
Just stop. Stop right there.
Why do I live here? Shaba! That was Trailer Load. Sorry, Shaba is Trailer Load. Trailer Load.
Give me the Trailer Load, okay.
Yep. Spadcast is over.
Oh my goodness.
Hush now, hush.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry. We just need to start. Just start over the question.
Like, can you imagine if tomorrow I came to you guys and said, guys, this radio station wants to do us live.
Oh, God. Live? Live would be insane. I don't think we could handle that.
We tried in a day.
We tried for about like a month.
Yeah.
And we realized this cannot work.
We'd be fired in like a day.
Oh, Jesus. Peace.
What is this program? We'd either be the best program on the radio.
Yeah.
Everybody tweeted like, guys, these guys are supposed to talk about movies, but just wait. Just wait.
Once again, they after the first thing, they just break up.
Like, they start with movies, and then it's just complete lunacy until they take them off. It's magic. We don't even know what they're talking about. So good. All they do is laugh at. There's, I've never heard, like, there's no dead air. There's just nonstop. I don't understand. They're just making each other laugh for an hour. This is incredible.
Oh.
We're bad. We're really bad.
So questions.
I hope to one day hear a review like that about us.
So questions.
You know shit's getting cut.
We shouldn't even release this podcast.
Should just
come in here and die with laughter and then go. Andrew, why is there no podcast? Look, I can't work magic. I don't know what to do anymore. They're the worst. They be like, every time we go in there, can I get a goddamn word out? Idiots. Oh, you want the podcast? All right, I'm going to put it up. Don't worry. You listen to it.
And then tell me
what I'm supposed to, and then it just goes viral.
Yeah.
Keep on YouTube. Now, have you heard this?
This podcast is 10 hours long. But.
Holy shit. I think they're all smoking weed the entire time.
You know, it's great. He is going to release his podcast. You know what this podcast is going to sound like? It's going to be 1 minute long. You're going to hear, welcome to the podcast. Movie. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, that's about as much as he can take from all of this.
Why do I even talk to you guys?
So, the questions.
Right.
Stop.
Alright. We're going to be here.
So last week I was asking people what, with the Sochi Olympics going on, what their favorite sports movie was. And the internet responded.
Wait, didn't you answer that question already?
No.
Last week, you asked it last week.
Yeah. To know
who said that.
Ran Helms, former host over at Univarn, Blogspot.com. The live. He just stopped.
Oh. Then he's still the host. He's not far more. There's no more podcast. He's still the host.
Okay. He's still the host. Responded with what I think many people feel when it comes to sports movies. Rudy.
Oh my god. Oh my goodness. That movie. Everybody loves that movie.
Could it be any worse?
Oh my god.
He's small. He's small and he gets to play. Oh yeah.
I used to hate that movie so much.
I still hate that movie so much.
Oh my word.
That movie's bad.
I think I might like that movie now. But like, not to the extent, not to...
Listen, that movie might as well just be A Giant Heart. You'll hate that movie more than you'll hate most things.
Benjamin Vargas responded with two responses. One saying fiction, saying Raging Bull, and the other documentary, Hoop Dreams, which sadly I still haven't seen. Why have I not watched Hoop Dreams, Damien?
You don't like sports, everybody. What?
Right, that's probably the answer.
When was the last basketball? In fact, this is how much we don't like sports. The NBA All-Star game is being played right now, and we're recording this.
To answer your question, the last basketball game I watched was the final championship game where David Robinson won. With the Spurs. That was the last time I watched basketball.
You're a sad little man.
A long time
what
ago.
Happened? What happened?
No, no.
When did you stop liking manly things?
Rand McNeil responded with Raging Bull. Still one of my favorite Scorsese movies. And Douglas, I don't get you. How can you not like that movie?
Douglas also doesn't like sports. Are good movies.
Ross Miller responded with what he says is the only correct answer to this question. Dodgeball.
Alright. Fair enough.
However, the final and what I'm going to call the best response comes from Adrian. Oh, Adrian.
Okay.
Who says Mighty Ducks 1?
Andrew.
They do the flying V.
The third one was actually on TV, like within the last week, and I watched like 20 minutes of it, and I'm like, why did I ever watch it? I remember going to the theater to watch that movie.
It's because you were in the zone. Yeah, the Disney zone.
Yep. Yep.
Were you young when these movies came out? You love them, don't you? Yup. You're just watching your parents shake them head. This is garbage.
But hold on, Andrew. I think you've forgotten a response. Somebody somewhere in this world must have responded with the greatest Jamaican sports movie ever made. You must have.
You mean the Usain Bolt documentary?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I watch it. Just fun. He's real dumb.
I didn't get that one. Who sent you a response?
Asshole. I like the Usain Bolt movie. It's pretty good. They should make one about Merlin Otte.
You know what's funny?
She deserves one.
So, Dougie Doug was on, like, Bloomberg the other day.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't immediately change the station.
Did he hear our podcast?
You don't know why? Did he hear our podcast?
Oh my goodness. He came on
to apologize to Jamaicans and people at large.
He's like, yeah, now that they're actually
for being that racist
again,
Jamaican.
Sorry.
Injustified.
Sorry, guys. Injustified.
Yeah. What else did he come in as? I don't understand.
That movie doesn't exist.
What are you talking about?
That movie that you keep imagining and keep telling us is real.
What is he? I don't even know.
He keeps telling me about this bobsled movie.
What?
But it never happened as far as I know. This week forward, I was thinking with the release of Winter's Tale, which the entire of the internet is...
The entire internet is going crazy
about because... It seems to be one of the worst fantasy romance movies ever existing. I'm kind of curious if people could bring out suggestions to the younger crowd out there as to movies they should probably watch instead that would have given them a better fantasy romance, whatever experience than Winter's Tale.
Fantasy romance? Hold on. I really don't know what Winter's Tale is about at all. What is it about?
Colin Farrell,
yeah,
who is a guy... From, I don't even know what era, is it 1700s or whatever, back when people rode horses. and he's last in love year. With a woman. And boom, he time travels to nowadays accidentally.
Of course.
And something about that romance, I don't know anymore. I know Russell Crowe is somewhere in the middle.
Oh my goodness.
All of that.
Well, that sounds great.
And it's Douglas's movie.
Essentially, this is that movie. What's it called again? Something
you're
like Iggy and Me or whatever with Meg
happy.
Ryan and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
That movie. What is it called? I think
yeah,
it's like
no,
the names of them.
Yeah,
it was
no,
like a.
That's not even close.
I
know exactly what movie you're talking about. He travels to the future.
Yep, and he's like a lord, and he's like, "Oh my lady, I shall, you know, saddle the horses." Kind
was
of a guy.
Jackman?
I think
yes.
He was. Yeah.
It was. I've seen it many times.
Have you? Oh my goodness!
I have sisters.
I
keep reminding
did not
you
watch
people.
That.
Leopold.
Yeah, Kate and
Leopold.
Leopold.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There I got
just terrible. All these movies are terrible. Fantasy rom-coms. Yep.
Well,
if you
need time travel and
mm-hmm.
you need romance, there are. Well, I kind of consider them one movie. Because it's like this woman just goes from one time traveler to another one. You've got The Time Traveler's Wife, which is pretty awesome. And then you've got About Time that just came out, which is, I think, might actually be the greater movie. But, yeah.
There's also Lupo.
There's
a romance there.
Yup. Have you seen About Time yet? No? Okay.
Well, yeah. Terrible movie. Trying to
well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now I don't blame him cause he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me.
How do you feel about part one of your new film?
Why, how do you feel about part one of my new film?
Well, I'm honest, you know, so.
Just say it.
I thought aspects of it seemed slightly fake.
Wolodarsky?
Take five, Steve.
I like taking five. Did it seem fake when my best friend was bitten in half right in front of me? Then eaten alive, screaming? I think you're a fake. I think you're a phony. And a bad reporter. How does that feel? And tell me something. Does this seem fake?
So our top five this week, we're going to bring back the pitch game next week.
Oh, okay.
Giving it enough of a rest.
Good.
So the top five this week, given with Paris, Texas, Douglas has asked us to talk about our top five family reunion films.
Oh, my list
define
is perfect.
Families.
My list is perfect.
You define it.
Oh, all right. A man and his dog.
did anyone else watch that movie Red with
mm-hmm, Robert not Robert Red but yeah with the old guy that this
Brian Cox
yeah and the stupid
and the
people did bad things to the dog
I remember, like,
oh, no,
and
I
he
know
did
one.
Bad things to everybody.
I didn't see that one.
And I love that movie.
Okay, good.
It's so good.
So Douglas, it's your top five, why don't you kick us off?
Yay.
Alright, well guess what, you cannot. I'm going to kick this thing off with a bang. One of my favorite holiday movies ever. And
Christmas Vacation.
It is Christmas Vacation. It
face.
Is Christmas Vacation.
Boo.
Chevy Chase as Clark
nonsense.
Griswold brings his family together.
Does he?
Yes, he
does.
And he tries to do a light show and fails so many times, but succeeds in... you know, pissing off his neighbors, who happen to be Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and this movie is just—it's
pretty good.
It's pretty good. It is something that I have to watch every year. You know, you look at other movies like, say, Groundhog Day, or you know, or Scrooged, other types of like holiday sort of movies that people are like, oh, let's watch it. No, this is my must-see every holiday. I love it.
So there's a movie last year with a runway that spanned straight across Europe. where a man is driven to catch a woman out of the air because of his love, alright, and his need to reunite his family. Aha!
I hate you people.
It is called Furious 6. And it is stupid. And I love it.
I just named that movie.
Douglas also had it on his list.
I never even thought about that movie, to be honest.
Why would you?
Those movies.
Why would you?
My number five is... It's in the runnings for one of my favorite movies of Wes Anderson's. And it's The Royal Tenenbaums.
No, really? Oh, sir. Really?
when you have a family as eccentric as the Tenenbaums and you finally get Gene Hackman to bring them all together in the same house again, it's kind of amazing to see how crazy it'll get. Especially when people have fake stomach cancer. That movie's great.
It is. My next movie will win. Just letting everybody know.
Oh, wow. So, my number four is a movie that I absolutely adore. It knocked me off of my feet the first time I saw it because I just did not believe that it could be any good at all. No, it's not going to be on your list. And also, I mean, can you guys think of any movie with Dane Cook that could ever be good?
No, you can't.
Exactly. That's but right. Somehow, this one is. It's great. It's Dan in Real Life. I love Dan in Real Life.
That's not fair.
What do you mean that's not fair?
He said Dane Cook. You can't push that movie as a Dane Cook.
I know, exactly.
Movie.
But that's what I'm saying, right? This movie is so good that it brings Dane Cook in and still doesn't, you know, it doesn't lose anything because of it.
Fair enough.
Right? But I love this film, you know. It is a family reunion movie, you know. The movie is all about
event.
They're going to a family, like a yearly family reunion. You know, they go to his parents' house. Shit goes down, of course, but in the most hilarious and heartwarming of ways. You know, so yeah.
All right. Now to end this podcast.
Furious 5.
My number four movie is Con Air.
That doesn't.
What
count.
Was he trying to do? That the entire
bunny.
Movie.
Because the bunny
reunite his daughter with her bunny.
Have you seen the trailer for Joe?
Yes.
Isn't that the sequel to
Con Air? Yeah, they've made Con Air again. I'm going to watch that movie so hard. So Con Air, he's trying to get back to his wife and child
to give them
a bunny
that's in a box.
It's in a box that should not be removed. Someone did. It's a big mistake.
Remember that period in time when John Cusack in movies was like a pulse?
It was a thing, yeah. It was a thing that happened. And then one day the world woke up and went, dog, no. This is a wrap. And now he comes in made-to-DVD movies. Him and Cuba Gooding Jr.
My number four is Magnolia. Because... A movie that happens to have all of these interconnections and all these things. At the end of the day, you can kind of pair off everyone as family that ends up coming together towards the end of the movie.
Sure.
You see, Frank T.J. Mackey, played by Tom Cruise, and his father, who's dying of cancer. You see the damaged daughter and her father having issues finally coming back together with her mother. Well, let's forget about the frogs who are coming down out of the sky while this is all happening.
Yeah, I tried to, but it was in the movie.
But this movie is amazing, and I love it, and it technically has family reunion, so I'm adding it to my list.
It's not Con Air.
Does your movie have frogs falling from the sky?
Oh, my movie has something better falling from the sky.
Alright. Guess what, guys? It's Audible time. Andrew.
Wait, they're sponsoring the podcast? Go to gmanreviews.com/audible for your free trial at audible.com.
If that link works, I will pay you $20.
And we'd like to thank Audible for sponsoring us.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
So, I'm just going to say it. The Darjeeling Limited, thanks Andrew for taking the Royal Tenenbaums from me, but I had a backup.
You guys love that movie so
much.
I love
much.
This movie. It's great.
I have that movie to
Adrian
rewatch.
Brody and
Three Brothers.
The Wilson.
On the train.
And the other guy with the mustache.
I wanted to, guys.
Jason Schwartzman.
Yep.
Tried it, but no.
No, I love this movie. It's me, though. It's weird. It is darkly funny. It is...
Is it just...
Well, if you want to see it that way.
Fine.
It's just marvelous.
Alright. Number... Tris, whatever it is. Is Away We Go.
Yeah. What? Family reunion?
Yeah.
Oh.
They were going to have that baby, and they said, alright, we need to let everybody know. So they went to all the family that they had and reunited with them. And then they went off to have their baby. They reunited all of the members of their family.
Their family deunited because they were with their parents or his parents, who then left them. So they left.
Deunited?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like reunited, okay, but the opposite of
that. I just want to confirm.
Deunited.
Because I don't speak English well.
Right.
So I need to make sure. All right.
And if you try it again, you ununited.
So my number three is a classic. It's a film by Yasujiro Ozu, and it's Tokyo Story. With the film that begins with the parents coming to town to visit their children, so that they can finally be together with their family after so many years. It reminds us that there's this weird part about life and being together with family, that life as we've kind of decided it to be these days, with work taking 80% of that, kind of doesn't allow for the traditional sense of family where we're never going to be with them again. But at the same time, it brings to light something I find interesting about this idea of reunion, which is that technically you're always some form of united with your family because you're a part of them, and I adore this movie for that.
Andrew, why do you take this so serious? So, my number...
my number two movie.
Which probably should be my number one. Okay. How many people... I don't think this is a very famous movie. Though, a couple of people in here are pretty big. Or at least, no, one person is really big. Have either of you heard of a movie by the name of My Blue Heaven?
Yes.
Andrew?
I heard about it from you.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Is that a Steve Martin movie?
Yes, it is. Do you remember what this movie is about?
I remember it being about a mobster going into protective custody to rat out his family.
Yep. No, goes a little bit further than that. So, this is about, yes, a mobster who is now in witness protection because he
has... I remember
has,
being amazed by that movie because Steve Martin had hair.
I know. Well, no, he always has hair. Steve Martin always has hair.
Color.
Yeah. Oh, color. Color. Hair and color is two different things. But yeah, you're right. But Steve Martin rats out his family or whatever, goes into witness protection and finds himself in a little hick town somewhere with everybody who he thought died from the family.
And
then reunites with them and starts doing monster stuff with them. And that is just great. You know? It's the perfect family reunion. Right? And it's not the kind of family that you're thinking of, but it's marvelous.
I remember,
this is such a stupid movie, but I love it.
When
it's
you
hilarious.
Describe the movie, I went, I think I've seen... And every time you describe it, no, I've seen this dumb movie. It's really funny, though.
Yeah, it is.
It really is funny. Because he shows up in his... Right, he shows up with his, like, luggage and thing, and he's just this, you know, punk. And then he slowly realizes that all his neighbors
are like people
are
that
people who
are supposed
rat out
to be
people
dead.
That
yeah,
are,
exactly.
are in witness protection.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, we're all rats. Let's take over this hick town. And then, my next movie is The Four M's. We love this movie. We love this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
March, according to this, virtual keyboards are the best. March, Martha, May, Marlene. Thank you. Swift key, thank you. So this girl runs away to a commune and communes do what communes always do.
They so fuck she, you up. Yep.
Yeah. So she's now reunited with her family. But she is, let's say, jacked in the brain. She's messed up. And this movie, like, the more I watch the movie, and I've seen it a lot. I've seen this movie a lot. Because this is one of the few movies that, because it stars a woman, and because it is geared to only her story, right? I can trick other women into watching it. And I have, multiple times. And all of them think that the husband is a real asshole. I'm just watching that time after time after time. I think the husband is perfectly reasonable in everything that he says. And I've not watched it with a single female that I've gone, yeah, they're like, this man, he's the worst husband. He can't. And it always brings a smile to my face. Because I know deep down, there will never be, we'll never see eye to eye. It's never going to happen. No matter how hard we try, it ain't happening.
So what would happen the day where the woman says that the...
I'll marry her. I will marry that on the spot.
What if it she's married?
I will kill that man because he does not deserve her. And I don't care how old she is. I don't care how many children she has. I'm marrying that woman. Because I'll finally have met a woman with sense. No, I love saying that. To get punched in the face. Andrew,
but so you're talking to the internet, it can't punch you back. My number two is a film that we've discussed already. I quite love it. It's The Blues Brothers. Because when Joliet Jake goes to pick up his brother,
hit him with so much.
I think he likes it the more you hate it.
I know.
Can delete this.
I love The Blues Brothers, Douglas. I love The Blues Brothers. That movie's great.
No, you don't. No one does.
That car is magic.
Car is magic, though.
Like if I could pick a movie car to have, if I could have it exactly as it is, with all of its magical properties, I would have that car.
There is a talking car in Knight Rider. No, you'd not have that. The Blues Brothers car. You'd have Kit. Everybody in the world that has ever seen Knight Rider, even for a second, would have that car.
Yes, please.
It talks.
Yes, it does.
Blues it is Brothers. A talking car.
The Bluesmobile.
It is a talking car. Don't be ridiculous. I wouldn't even take the car that travels through time.
That'd be a fun list to do with Damien.
Best cars in
movies. Best cars in movies.
Cars. God. We can talk about that sometime in the future.
I'm picking next week, so that's not that bad. So you're picking a movie that has cars.
Guess what, guys? My number one, with a bullet. Before Fast and the Furious 6.
What? There was nothing before that.
There was Fast 5. where, you know, Dom and all of his family got together in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And
did the dumbest
blew
shit possible.
The doors off. And there was a tank.
No, the tank wasn't like a tank,
but there was like this big vehicle. I don't know.
They had the vault.
The vault that they drove.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't there like some sort of big thing with the tank?
No, not with the tank.
Maybe they called the rock the tank.
They had two cars pull the vault.
It was two cars.
That's why it was so amazing.
I love. Oh my goodness.
You do
love that movie. Of course, I love that movie.
So you don't even remember.
There was
can't
a
love
big
what
vehicle.
You don't remember.
There was a big
vehicle.
There was a big vehicle. I'm going to watch that movie again, mm-hmm. and I'm going to show you at
and
minute whatever
you will be wrong.
Is going to be there.
They had like a Hummer-sized vehicle. That's about it.
Yeah, that thing. It was, sorry, it was...
the Rock's SUV that they drove for like a half a second.
But that wasn't there.
But nice
it was,
try.
It was...
Yep.
Look, when you say there's a tank, and within the canon of the movies, there is a tank.
Enough. It wasn't an actual tank. And I take that back. I apologize. But it was some sort of large armored vehicle.
You have to apologize to the entire of the Fast and Furious 5 nation out there.
And Vin Diesel himself. Sir Vincent of Diesel.
Oh my goodness. But no, guys, as much as I love the last movie, Fast 5 was actually probably the best within the canon.
Listen, if you're going to talk nonsense, just come off on
it. Oh my goodness. It's fantastic.
Did it have a tank? No. Did they have a runway for 19 hours? No.
Oh.
Were there Superman S flights Not once, not twice, but three times? No, so I don't want to hear it.
Oh my goodness, but
it's... My number one movie is a movie I haven't talked about in a long time. It is a movie that you hate and you hate, but I love to death. And it is number one. It is Another Earth.
Can we cut off his microphone now?
Another Earth had to show up for her to get a reunion with herself, her better self. Which is incredible.
What do you think would happen if there was another version of you? And also technically the guy... Do you think he'd be the nice
right,
version?
Got to reunite with his family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think if there was another Earth, really, and you got to reunite with yourself,
mm-hmm.
do you think he'd be a nice person or exactly like you?
If he was a nice person, I'd be disappointed. I want him to be so much worse than I am. I want him to be essentially who I am at work just all the time. Just that
so
hateful
you'd
person.
So find it funny or so that you'd feel better about
no,
yourself?
So I'd find it hilarious. Because then I'd know, oh, I can just keep being Damien on this earth.
You don't
because,
have to do it for two
right,
months.
I don't have to keep balance. He'd be serious Damien. He'd probably be president of the world. He'd have taken over like all of Jamaica. And then I'd just be dumb, stupid Damien that buys nonsense and go... In the other, if you guys want the better me, I suggest you jump on a rocket and go to that one because it's never happening.
So my number one is a movie that I don't think either you guys have gotten to see yet. It is Michael Winterbottom's Everyday.
His name is Winterbottom.
Seriously? What are you, 12?
Winterbottom.
Yeah, yes, you're like the Minions in Despicable 2. Round the bottom.
Yes, 2 years old.
So every day, if you guys don't know what this movie is about a span of 5 years within which this family, the father is in jail. And we follow this family over a period of 5 years up until when the father finally leaves jail. And what I love about this movie mainly is the fact that the only time we ever get to see this family is when they're actually together or when they're going to be together as they would go to the prison or he would get a furlough or whatnot. And Winterbottom actually directed this film over a period of 5 years, getting all of the children and doing pretty much a Linklater Boyhood kind of deal, but on a much smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
Since Linklater went for the 12-year.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if Linklater was like, we're just going to keep doing it until I feel we're done.
I actually think so. I think, because, as I said, I heard about it like a few years ago. And, well, then again, I don't know anything that's going on here. But the article that I read at the time kind of gave that impression.
Mm.
That he was like, he was going and... You know, it was going to be this grand experiment, you know?
Yeah, so every day. I don't know if it's available anywhere. But the movie is amazing.
Where's the tiff jar?
Trust me.
Where is it? The asshole jar. Where
I
is
did
it?
Not say the word.
Oh, yeah. Where else could Andrew have gone to see a movie no one else has
you
seen?
You see, the thing about
or
it
the
is...
Or the future.
No,
he went to the future.
The thing about it is, right... It's all about how you say it. So he was fine until he said that last thing. Where he's like,
right.
I don't think you can find it right. anywhere. I was like, oh, there it is.
You peasants. You people, what are beneath me? Tip. Will you ever see this? Tip. Because he didn't go. Tiff, you dirtbags.
Oh, Andrew's now in debt to the tiff jar.
Who gets a tiff jar?
No, we use it to pay for tiff.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I was wondering if I was paying myself. But yeah, that's my number one. Unless you guys have anything else to add before we go. No?
Not at all, except you're an asshole for stealing Royal Tenenbaums from me.
Yeah, you are an idiot for thinking that would last. No one's going to have Royal Tenenbaums. No. Oh, wait. Oh, no. It's gone. Alright.
So, as always, you can hear the show through iTunes, Stitcher, or over on gmanages.com where you can find all of my writings. Damien, he's on Twitter, he's Damien_White.
Yes.
Douglas, he's DJ, I lost his name, and I'm at gmanages. Thank you so much for listening.
They overtook me down in Juarez, Mexico. Laid in the hot joints, taking the pill. In walked the sheriff from Jericho Hill. He said, Willie Lee, your name is not Jack Brown. You're the dirty hack that shot your woman down. And yes, oh yes, my name is Willie Lee. If you've got a warrant, just to read it to me. Shot her down because she made me slow. I thought I was her daddy, but she had five more. When I was arrested, I was dressed in black. They put me on a train and they took me back. Had no friend for to go my bail. They slapped my dirty carcass in that county jail. Early next morning, about a half past nine, I spied a sheriff coming down the line. Up then he coughed as he cleared his throat. He said, come on, you dirty hack, into that district court. Into the courtroom my trial began.